I'm Lee Blue, and this is Double Stack, where WordPress freelancers discover the tech stack and the business development stack to become high-value, sought-after WordPress consultants. So if you're tired of burning yourself out with those high-stress, low-budget projects, and you're ready to start working with clients you love at the rates you're really worth, then you're in the right place. All of this is 100% free, so please subscribe to and review our podcast. If your marketing is ineffective, then you're not going to be generating leads and winning new clients. And if you're not generating leads and winning new clients, then you're not in control of your cash flow. And if you're not in control of your cash flow, you don't really have control of your business. So being in business means generating business for yourself. And if you're not doing that, then you're not going to be able to stay in business very long. And this sort of poses a problem because a lot of people feel really uncomfortable with selling. And therefore, what do you do about it? Not only do people feel uncomfortable selling, but almost everybody feels uncomfortable being sold too. And so there's a butting of heads going on in the mix. And so what I wanted to do today is talk about why that problem exists. And then I'm going to give you a 5-step process that you can follow so that you don't have to have this problem anymore. And it's going to be this fun and energizing and everybody wins sort of situation when you make this shift. But before we can get to the shift, we have to kind of unpack what the problem actually is so that we know how to solve it properly. And so so that's kind of what all this is about. So let's just go ahead and dive right into it. The reason that we have this problem is because let me back it up. We didn't used to have the problem to the degree that we have it today because the marketplace and selling and the customer interaction situation was a much more of a closed system. Like just for a second, like think back to a time like when maybe there was no internet around, like, you know, way back when. And the marketplace was more of a closed, less transparent system. Not necessarily out of malice per se, but just out of lack of information. For example, like if you were a vendor and you had a product, it was oftentimes the case that you like fundamentally and fully believed in your product, even if there were other better solutions out there, because you didn't know about the other better solutions. And so without that knowledge, it's a lot easier to believe that your solution or your product is the best and is fantastic because there are in fact benefits to it. And so say you've got some kind of a widget and it does something really cool. Like say, for example, you had a vacuum and it does a really good job at cleaning, then it's easy to say, this is a great vacuum. It does a great job at cleaning and, you know, give an example, you know, kind of show how it works and feel really, really good about your vacuum in this example, even if there were other better vacuums out there, but you didn't know about them. So a lot of times the confidence that you would have would almost be sort of out of ignorance of other better solutions, but the solution that you had is okay. Like it's better than your client was before. And so like if you were to sell them this particular vacuum in this example, then their lives would be better than they currently are because now they've got your vacuum and they're feeling a little bit better off. And the same thing is also true on the customer side. Like they would say, oh, well, yes, this really is a great vacuum for me because I'm unaware of the fact that there are other vacuums out there. In other words, this opportunity is a good one to take because it's the only opportunity that I have access to. And that was a fundamentally different position to be in than where we are today. And so people would enter into the marketplace with more of a curiosity about things. Like say, for example, like some kind of a vendor comes up to some sort of a customer, the customer tends to be a little bit more curious than they are today because you don't really get exposed to a whole lot of options. And so if somebody's presenting an option to you, then you're like, hey, you know, is this good? You know, tell me a little bit more about it, kind of show me what you can do, you know, kind of teach me what's going on because this is the only opportunity I have to interact with. And therefore, let me see if it's going to be a good fit. And then, of course, the person presenting the product would then be saying, well, yeah, okay, let me teach you how this works because I believe in it. And then we're having a more honest conversation with one another. And that's kind of how things went in the past. Like that's what things were kind of all about. And it didn't make the process so uncomfortable because vendors kind of pretty much believed in what they were selling. Customers were excited to get an opportunity to maybe better their lives in some way by engaging in commerce in some way with you. And that was a pretty good situation. Now, of course, not all the time did that ever happen. Obviously, there's you know, extremes on either end. But the point that I'm making is, because of the more closed system, because that there was less information available, it was easier both for vendors and for customers to feel really good about the interaction and not really feeling like selling was uncomfortable and not really feeling like you were being closed on if you were on the customer side. So that was a different situation. But where we are today is really different, especially now with regard to like selling websites and doing digital marketing and the internet is there. You know, the closed concept of that environment is just blown away. Everything is super open now. And so what that means is there's been a mindset shift, especially with regard to the consumer. And they've gone from being really curious to being really suspicious. And that's an interesting shift because rather than thinking that the vendor is actually going to benefit you in some way, a lot of times customers are feeling like, you know, this person's just selling me something, even though there are other better options and they know there's better options, but they only have access to sell what they've got. And therefore, I'm really suspicious. Like, is this really going to help me? Are they presenting this opportunity to me because they feel like it's going to help me? Or are they presenting it because it's all on them? And they want to make money. They want to stay in business. They want to kind of, you know, they're doing that kind of stereotypical thing where it's like, you know, the pushy, flashy, salesy kind of person is all about, you know, closing the deal and all of that stuff. And so customers really come to that type of a meeting with a high level of suspicion. And I don't blame them. I do the exact same thing. Like if I were to go out and like buy a car or something like that, you know, I would want to do my research up front so that pretty much when I go to wherever I'm going to buy something, I kind of know what I want already. And I just want to go and like do the financial transaction at the place where I'm buying things. And this is especially true if you try to go somewhere like Best Buy or any, I mean, like, I think one of the side effects of this, kind of as a side note here, is that customer service is kind of just non-existent now. Like you try to go somewhere and learn something about a particular product, like go to like Home Depot or go to Lowe's or go to Best Buy or go anywhere where somebody is supposed to be helping you purchase something. And I would probably say probably 100% of the time, very, very close to 100% of the time, if not all the way, I know far more about the product that I'm trying to purchase than the person who is supposed to be like helping sell that product to me. Especially if it's in the context of like electronics or computers or cell phones or whatever, where I'm going to Best Buy. It's like, you know, the people there, they don't seem to care. But anyway, all that is to say that if somebody were to approach me with some sort of a offer, then, you know, my kind of knee-jerk reaction is, why are they doing this? Why are they calling? Is this a spam call? Is this like, you know, junk on the internet that's not going to help? What's going on? Like my level of suspicion just kind of goes way through the roof. Because I don't believe from the beginning, like I don't believe that the person calling me is calling to help me. I believe they're calling to sell me. And that's a really, really big difference. And that's why everything sort of feels so uncomfortable. Because most of the people that I talk to are uncomfortable approaching people like that. Because it sucks. I mean, you're basically intentionally being a butthead. And, you know, most of the people that I talk to don't want to have that kind of relationship where they're, you know, putting a lot of pressure and intensity on a situation and, you know, being super me focused and just trying to like, you know, it's all about me making money and you know, I'm going to sell this thing to you and then I win, you know, that kind of idea where there's this combat. And then of course the customer, they're the same way too. Like, you know, they've got their, you know, senses going up, like, hey, you know, I don't want to be taken advantage of, you know, protect my wallet, you know, it's going to take a lot for me to part with my money because there's probably a lot of better stuff out there. And if I had wanted something, then I could go out and find the something that I wanted because information is so widely available right now. And that's another big factor that really comes into play with regard to why selling is so uncomfortable now, because the customer, if they had wanted, like say, for example, you're out there trying to sell a website. If the person that you are talking to had actually wanted a website, it's easy to go get a website. They could have gone out and gotten a website on their own without your interaction. And this is really drawing a contrast between the difference between where we are today versus where we used to be, you know, years ago, where selling wasn't so uncomfortable. Because you call somebody up and you say, hey, you know what? Here's, you know, let me sell you a website. And then if they had wanted the website, they could have gone on Wix or Weebly or Squarespace or Upwork or Fiverr or Craigslist or Ask Their Neighbor or whatever it might be. It's not hard to find a website. So what that means is, if you find yourself making like these cold calls or cold emails or just reaching out to strangers trying to sell a website to them, the success rate is extraordinarily low because if they had wanted a website, they're not that hard to come by. And so that means when you approach somebody, the only reason they would say yes would be like out of maybe convenience because you're kind of there now and, you know, maybe it's something that was on their mind that they'd been thinking about and, you know, now all of a sudden you just happen to be there and you're kind of saving them a Google search or something like that. And so that becomes a big problem. It also becomes a big problem because they're aware of the fact that they could be getting a website for free many times or for extraordinarily low rates. So like if you begin to mention a price that's anywhere north of $1,000, people begin to be like, well, you know, that's not it. We can't afford that. That's out of our budget. You know, that's not really anything that we're looking for. And they're thinking about it in the sense that maybe they already have a site. It's not really doing anything for them. Maybe they think their Facebook page is all they need. You know, maybe they don't really feel like they get traffic off the internet for whatever their business is. Whatever the case may be, you know, you start saying prices like, you know, $1,000, $3,000, $5,000, $10,000. And people freak out and they instantly become extraordinarily suspicious because like, why are you selling me something that's like 10 times more expensive than what I could get somewhere else? That becomes a big problem. And then what happens, then you feel the need to start explaining why what you're offering is dramatically different from what like a free website would be or what they might be able to get for less. And so then you begin to teach the problems that I used to, and so like, you know, responsive design and SEO and the stability of sites. And, you know, maybe if you get one of these cheap sites off of Craigslist, like you're getting nulled plugins and nulled themes, you know, like they don't have the licenses, you know, they're all like hacked together. Maybe there's even bugs and viruses and stuff kind of baked into the mix because of all of this. They're not getting updates because they don't really have legit licenses. You know, you begin to teach all of this crazy stuff and like, you know, people don't know or care or even want to talk about that because it doesn't matter to them. And so that begins to lay the foundation for where the problem is. The problem is clients are super suspicious that you're just trying to sell them something. When the price is significantly higher than they expect, they even become even more suspicious. And if they had wanted a website, like the information is available, they could have gotten it already. So you're probably approaching people that don't really even care. So kind of right off the bat, it's probably a bad lead. You know, it's probably not a good fit. There's so many different problems. And so that means most people feel uncomfortable entering into conversations like that because of all of the things that we just listed. It's uncomfortable to do it. And so then you have to ask yourself, well, if it's uncomfortable to do it, what do I do about it? Because if I'm not doing that, like if I'm not entering into any kind of sales type conversation, then I'm not winning clients, or at least I'm not generating leads. And if I'm not generating leads, then I'm not winning clients. And if I'm not winning clients, I'm not in control of my cash flow. And if I'm not in control of my cash flow, then what am I doing? Am I even working for myself? Do I even have my own business if I'm not generating the business for myself? For example, like if you are 100% relying on referrals, you don't work for yourself. You work for all the people sending you referrals. And what if they don't send you referrals anymore? What are you going to do about it? That's how you know you work for them and not for you. Because if they stop sending you referrals, you stop being in business. And so what that means is you're not actually working for yourself. You're just sitting around working for the people sending you leads. Same thing, like if you're just waiting for somebody to stumble upon your website or you're waiting for a phone call or whatever, if you constantly find yourself being reactive rather than proactive with regard to generating leads and generating business for yourself, you don't really have a business at that point. Because if whatever's happening external from you stops, there's nothing that you can do about it. And so what does that mean? Like what kind of business are you in if that's your situation? And so now you're kind of stuck in a bad place, because on one hand, it feels uncomfortable and it kind of sucks to go out there and try to pressure people into buying something. And what if they need something that you don't feel 100% confident in? I mean, have you ever been in a situation where somebody sends you a referral or you get a lead from somewhere, and then they start asking you about stuff that maybe you know about it, maybe you kind of could do it, but you don't feel 100% confident in it. You just kind of feel I'm going to say yes now and Google it later, that kind of a thing, because you feel hey, you know what? I know enough about what's going on to be able to, make this work. So, I feel totally confident that I could figure it out, even though I don't know how to do it right now. So therefore I'll just say yes anyway. And then, but if it wasn't for the money, if it wasn't for the fact that you needed the work, would you still be saying yes? Or if it wasn't for the fact that you needed the work, would you maybe refer that person that was referred to you to someone else that you know who could do a better job at that thing? Say, for example, you get a client who needs, maybe they got a ClickFunnels thing going on. You've never worked with ClickFunnels, but heck, you know what? You've been working on the web for a while. You could probably figure it out. So when they say, hey, can you manage my ClickFunnels site or whatever? You say, sure. And then you could figure it out later, even though maybe you know a guy who could do a better job who does that or specializes in that. And your client would be better off with them, but you need the work. So you say yes, because hey, you know what? It's my lead. I should do it. But it feels bad. It's not good. It's not good for anybody in that type of a situation. It's not good for you because you're getting work that you're not really the best at. And therefore, you can't generate the best results compared to who you might have referred them to if the whole financial thing wasn't an issue. And then it's not good for your client, because now they're working with you paying the same price that they probably would have paid somebody else who could have done a better job because they were more familiar with that stuff. So it's not that great for them. And then when they're trying to get their marketing message out, it's not all that great for their customers. So people that they could be helping, they're not really getting the message because you're not doing the greatest job because it's something new to you. And so everyone is losing with that situation, but you feel like you have to say yes because you need the work and it's sitting right there. And so that tends to be where the problem is. So what do you do about it? How do you fix that situation so you don't have to deal with that anymore and that it actually feels good? So what I want to do now is, now that we've kind of laid the groundwork for how all of this is kind of coming to, why it's really come to a head, then what I want to do now is kind of go through the five steps for how to fix it. So what do you do to kind of fix that situation so you don't have to be in the situation where you're saying yes, even though you don't really want to, and your client is, asking you for something you don't know how to do, or, the prices that you want to charge are just dramatically higher than what clients are expecting. All of this, how do you fix all of that so you don't feel like you're being pushy and salesy and, combative and uncomfortable, and instead you're having this fun and energizing and great relationship that's genuinely helping someone so that you don't have to feel like you're selling anything to anyone? That's this five-step approach is the key, the secret to unlocking all of that. And the first step is to make sure that you believe in what you're offering. So for example, think back to what we just talked about a second ago, when you get this referral and the person saying, hey, can you, and then they fill in the blank with something that you're not really all that familiar with, the ClickFunnels thing, or, maybe they've got, maybe they do a lot of e-commerce stuff and you've never done e-commerce before and you don't really like it, or maybe they're working on they have an email marketing platform, maybe they use Infusionsoft or Entreport or something like that, and you've just never used that before. It's not, email marketing is not really your thing. You prefer e-commerce, whatever it might be. The point is, people are asking you stuff and, you don't feel that great about it. Well, don't entertain those types of conversations. And so then you go, I need the work. I got to get the job. What am I supposed to do? Well, here's the thing. The first thing you need to do is make sure that you believe in what you're offering. And what I mean by that is take an inventory of the stuff that you know how to do and that you like. And, and think, this is what I'm really going to focus on. And the reason you're focusing on it is because you feel really good about it. It's stuff that you've got experience in. It's stuff that you know how to do. It's stuff that, that would be really helpful to people in a specific situation, not necessarily to everybody. You're not trying to be all things to all people. What you're trying to do is say, hey, you know, what am I good at? And how can I package that in a way that will really help somebody? And then focus on that thing and don't worry about the other stuff. And so, so that kind of leads kind of right into step two. So step one is make sure that you believe in what you're offering, and that, you know, and that the intent behind your offer is in the right place. And then the second thing is have 100% confidence that your offer will genuinely help the client. And so what that means is, if you don't believe that what you're selling is actually going to be beneficial to the person buying it, then don't offer it. Don't sell it. Don't sell it to those people. So for example, you know, if you come across somebody who is, you know, maybe like a moving company, and you specialize in like e-commerce stuff, and you're like, hey, you know, well, you're a moving company. Let's go ahead and, you know, put like t-shirts and hats and, you know, all kinds of swag out there so people can, you know, buy your t-shirts and stuff off your website, and ta-da, everybody will know about your moving company because they're buying and wearing your t-shirts. Well, obviously that's not really going to be that big of a help to them. So don't sell that. You know, if that's what your offer is, you know, present that kind of an offer to someone who literally wants to sell products, and then, you know, don't bother with the moving company. So step two is make sure that you have 100% confidence that what you're offering is literally going to help the people that you're trying to help. You want to be genuine about it. So when you put those two things together, you've really got something. The first thing is you're confident in what you're offering. Like you feel really good about your skill set. And you're 100% confident that the skill set that you have applies to the person that you're trying to interact with, that will help your client. And then step three is only approach clients you know you can help. Make a note that your work is not for everybody. Like, it's impossible for one person to be able to do all of the things. Say, for example, you get a lead from a local restaurant, and the restaurant needs, like, you know, some nice videography to kind of like show people what the restaurant looks like. And maybe they need some nice, you know, photos of the food and everything like that, so they can like update their menu or something like that. But you don't do videography or photography. Then that's not going to be a good fit. You see what I mean? It's like you would be better off referring that client to someone who can do all three things, that can build websites and videography and photography. So that's the idea. So don't approach clients when you don't think that what your skill set is really going to benefit them. And so then that becomes, a big question comes in. Well, how do I avoid approaching clients like that? Because a lot of times people think, well, you know, I just work for anybody. Like, you know, I get referrals from past clients. I get referrals from friends. You know, people find my website. You know, I'm part of like a business, you know, BNI, or I go to Chamber of Commerce, and people just kind of refer, you know, just anytime anybody needs a website, they just get referred to me. And I don't really have any control over whether or not the person that's kind of in front of me now actually needs what I'm the best at. That should be a big red flag that the way that you're approaching your marketing is out of whack. That's not a problem with your referrals. It's not a problem with you. It's a problem with your marketing. And what that means is you're probably not doing any marketing. It means you're probably waiting on people to market for you, and then you just try to take, you know, the fruit salad that comes out of that. You never know what you're going to get. And so so that's a big issue. So what you want to do is, if you feel like that you're constantly in front of clients and your offer is not ideal for their situation, that should be a big red flag that the marketing is out of whack, and you want to resolve the way that you market your business and the types of clients that you attract and the mindset that those clients have when they're interacting with you. And that's kind of there, which then leads into the fourth step, which is be mindful about whether or not you should even be making an offer. And so what that means is, there could be a variety of reasons why you would not continue. Like, maybe you get to a situation where you generate a lead, you sit down with the client and you start talking, and you realize, hey, you know what? This isn't going to be a good fit. It's okay to not make an offer. It's better to not make an offer for everyone. It's better for you for a variety of reasons. For example, maybe you don't feel like you're an expert in what they need you to do. We already talked about that. But even more important than that, maybe you feel like the client is not the kind of client you want to be working with, right? Not necessarily in terms of the business that they're in, but in terms of the attitude that they have. So for example, what you want to do is you want to be winning clients and keeping the client. You don't want to just have to constantly win clients all the time, because when you do that, you're going to find that everything is shifted out of whack. And this is a huge point. I can't underscore this point enough. If you're in a situation where you are working either by yourself or maybe with one or two other people, like you're self-employed and you're trying to make a living at it, you don't want to be in a situation where you have to constantly find new clients all the time. That is the most time intensive and the most expensive possible way to spend your time, because you're going to meetings for free. You're writing proposals and spending hours doing research on projects you might not even win. You are oftentimes underbidding the value of your work just to compete with other people. And, you know, and then once you get the client, then you have a short window of time where you make some revenue from that client. And then most of the time, you then launch the site. Maybe they pay you $100 a month or something for hosting. Maybe at that, that's probably on the high end. And then that's it. There's no ongoing relationship there. And you're back on the little hamster wheel trying to find more clients again. And who knows how long that's going to take and how many meetings you have to go to and how many proposals you have to write and all the stuff, all the non-billable time that goes into it. And then when you kind of level it all out and you say, well, how much billable time do I have versus all this non-billable time finding clients? What you're going to find is all the time goes into finding these clients, which is non-billable time, which eats away at the possible hours you could be billing. And so that means you've got big problems, because now you don't have enough billable hours to generate the kind of revenue to hit the income goals you actually have for your business. So if you don't take anything else away from this conversation today, take this one point away: find and keep the clients that you want to work with. And that comes down to this point that we're talking about right here, kind of point number four: be mindful of of whether or not you're even making an offer, because you want to make sure that you like the person, that the relationship is going to be in a situation where if you had an extended ongoing conversation or relationship with that client, it would be a relationship that you would enjoy. Like, so they're not this nitpicky, high stress, always late, never paying on time, always changing their mind. They want you to build everything out first, and then they see it, and then they know what they want, and you have to go unwind it all and redo it again, never making forward progress, always indecisive. You know, all of those types of characteristics are things that you're going to want to think through up front before you decide whether or not you even want to get into the relationship in the first place. And that begins to lead us into the final point. The final point is, make sure that you charge a price that will allow for success. And what I mean, there's a lot of things packed into that. There's a lot of things that I mean with that kind of come into this fifth step. What does it mean to have success? First of all, you need to have success, meaning that you need to have the resources coming in so you can do your best work. So for example, if you're only charging $1,000 or $500, or if you have a cheap price on your project, how much time can you put into it and still stay in business? And you know, never mind even hitting your growth goals, but just to kind of keep alive. Like, how much time can you put into a $500 website? How much time can you put into a $1,000 website? Is that enough time to do your best work? That's a really big question to ask yourself, because if you're not doing your best work, then what are you doing? You know, why would you sell something to somebody that's not the best that you can do? And how does that feel? And back to our earlier part of our conversation, if you know going into it, you're going to sell something that's not as good as it could be, it feels bad to have that kind of relationship, to have that kind of conversation. You want to give people what they need. You want to give people the best. And if you're not charging a price that's going to allow you to do the best, then you're not setting yourself up for success. That's a big problem. Another problem is, if you're not setting yourself up for success to do your best, then your client isn't getting the best results. And so that's a problem for them. And if your client's not getting the best results, then they're not getting their message out to their customers. And so their customers are now unaware that they even exist. And so that relationship is suffering too. And so all of that happens by not charging enough. So you have to price everything in a way that's going to be successful. And then here's the other thing. If you don't price everything in a way that's successful up front to kind of do your best work, that has the problems we just talked about. But what about after you launch the site? Like, have you thought about what's going to happen next? Like, do you just launch the site and then kind of move on? Or have you baked into the pricing the ability to continue to use the stuff that you just built so that you can continue driving the success for the clients that you're working with? You know, you want to make sure that's part of it, because if that's not part of it, then you're not doing your best work and you're not driving the best results for your clients, and then they're not getting the best results for their customers. So you need to make sure that that structure is in place. So it's not just the price itself, it's the structure of that relationship, that you had that month-to-month thing going on. And then here's the final point about the structure and the price and having it all be set up for success, which is, are you on a path that you can actually sustain? Like, say, for example, you want to make $100,000 a year. How many websites, let's just say that's the goal. You want to make $10,000 a month, or you want to make $100,000 a year. You have some goal like that. You know, then think, well, what is your current situation? Like, what do you normally sell a website for? How long does it take to do that? And, you know, what's the price? How long does it take? And then how many clients do you need in order to make $100,000 a year out of that? You know, if you want to be making $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 a month, how many of those projects do you need to sell in order to hit that level? Even if you only wanted to make like $60,000 a month, that's like $60,000 a year, that's $5,000 a month. If you're selling like $1,000 websites, that's more than one a week. That means you have to go out and find and land and sell, close, build, launch, deploy, you know, more than one website every single week. And if you find yourself in that pattern, there's no way you're doing these other five things that we just talked about. There's no way that you're offering a solution that's really the best, and that you're, you know, doing what's really in your client's best interest. And you're probably offering stuff that's not your best work or not your forte. You know, all of those other things kind of are going to be like red flags all over the place. But the point that I'm making with regard to this final step in the structure is, like, think through what it is that you've been doing. And how long have you been doing it? Like, is this a pattern that you're kind of stuck in? Are you trying to charge higher rates, but for whatever reason, it's not working out because clients are like, that's too expensive, I could just go from, you know, one of these other cheaper paths, and you're struggling with how to overcome that? You know, like, if that's kind of the issue, then, you know, let's talk about it. We can figure out how to overcome that. But the point is, think through whatever the pattern is, compare that to what your revenue goals are, and then say, can you actually do that amount of work? Like, is it possible under your current situation to pull that together? And I think that you'll find that the answer is probably going to be no, if that's the pattern that you have. So the better pattern would be this, like what we just talked about, like the way that we roll in DoubleStack is, we suggest that two things happen. The first thing is that you land a client that's going to have that upfront build out of at least $3,000 up to like $10,000 to do that initial build out, because that's going to give you the resources to legitimately put something together that's very nice, that works, that has the tools baked into it that you will then be able to use to drive results for your clients. And so I'm talking about everything from building the website, writing copy, doing the branding, social media, email marketing, whatever people need to do. Different industries require different types of tools to be in place. But the point is, set all that stuff up, and it takes some time. It takes some time to do that. That's why you charge like a minimum of like $3,000, you know, upwards towards 10 to build all of that stuff out. Now, you don't have to do it all on day one. You can stage it so it's affordable and things like that. And we can talk about that. But that's the first stage. And then the second phase is, after you launch that stuff, keep using it. Like, continue to work with your client using the stuff that you built out to the tune of about, maybe as an introductory point, roughly 10 hours per month. And if you're charging $85 per hour, then that's going to be about $850 per month coming in on those on that month-to-month retainer to keep what you're doing going. That's the idea. And so what that means is, if you wanted to make, say your first goal is 50 grand a year, you want to start bringing in $50,000 consistently every year with your business, you're talking five clients, because every time, and that's just the retainers alone. That doesn't include the setup of that doesn't include that huge $3,000 to $10,000 point. It's just the retainer. And because here's what it is, it's like 10 hours a month. Here's the math. 10 hours a month is like 2.5 hours a week. If there's 4 weeks in the month, you know, 2.5 hours each week, you've got your 10 hours in the mix. That's 10 hours per month. And you're charging $85 an hour. So that's $850 every month, and you're only spending 2.5 hours per week doing it for one client. And so what that means for as far as the revenue is concerned, you've got over $10,000 a year. So $10,200 comes in when you do that. When you get somebody paying you $850 a month, if you were to keep that for a year, that would be $10,200 of revenue for you. So that's the thing. And so what if you then had five clients at that, just at that introductory 10 hours per month? I'm not 10 hours per week, per month, 2.5 hours per week, just at that level. Then you had five, just five in your whole portfolio, you had five clients paying you that at that level. What that means is you're working 2.5 billable hours a day, 5 days a week, and you're generating over $50,000 a year in terms of your recurring revenue. And again, that doesn't even count the initial setup of, you know, that $3,000 to $10,000 setup. Then you might think, well, what if you wanted to go up to $100,000 a year? Well, instead of five clients, you could have 10 clients all at that introductory level, 10 total clients. That's fewer than a client a month. You know, like if you did a client a month, you'd be at 12 clients. So if you could just land one client a month who could just be at that introductory level, and you're not even counting the setup cost, which is in the thousands of dollars for these sites, not even including that, you're bringing in over $100,000 a year of recurring revenue, and it's only taking you 5 hours a day, 5 days a week, which is what I would call a full-time job, because there's going to be non-billable time. Like, it's not realistic to think that if you want to work an eight-hour day, all 8 hours are going to be billable if you're running the business yourself, because you're going to have to pay taxes and answer phone calls and do emails and might have to travel a little bit, whatever. So there's going to be some time where you can't always be billable. And so I like to say, well, if, you know, about half, maybe slightly more than half of my day is billable, that's manageable. And if that's the case, then you can scale up to over $100,000 a year just on the retainer with only 10 clients. And so that's a very realistic thing to do. And here's how, where it gets even better. What will happen is a couple of things. There's usually two things that tend to happen with some regularity. One thing is you might think, well, the client that I'm about to talk to, they're going to need more than 2.5 hours a week. That's not very much time. Like if you're just sending a newsletter once a week, that almost fills up the whole 2.5 hours just with like a little bit of email work or whatever. You know, that doesn't even include all of the other things that you could be doing. So there's a lot of opportunity to fill a 2.5 hour per week demand. So what's going to happen is some of your clients are going to be like, hey, you know what? You know, I need more than that. Can you do like 10 hours a week, which is still not even a part-time job? Like 20 hours a week tends to be like a part-time job. So this is 10 hours a week. So instead of, you know, 10 hours a month, how about 10 hours a week? You know, so now you're working, you know, maybe 2 days a week, something like that, on behalf of one client. And what that means is that one client that's now like 10 hours per week, that's the equivalent of four clients at just that introductory rate. So now, you know, you just need like five or six clients total in your whole portfolio to be generating over $100,000 a year on those retainers alone. So you're making over 100 grand, because keep in mind, you still have those setup fees. And this is the pattern. That's how you do it. That's the math behind why this works so well. And the bottom line, the key to the whole thing, is you throw away all the stuff that sucks. You throw away all the stuff that you have to, you know, spend all this time doing, all the client hopping and searching for new clients and writing proposals and, you know, just all of the free work, all the stressful work, all of the uncertainty of where the next client's coming from. Throw that all away in exchange for a new approach, a new pattern. And that's what the new pattern is that we just talked about. You know, making sure that you build out what's actually necessary to drive results. And then you use the stuff that you just built after you launched the site, even if it's just to the tune of a couple hours a week. And when you do that, then you can have somewhere between 5 to 10 clients, and you could be making over $100,000 a year by yourself. Now, if you work with a partner, you want to bring on people and you want to scale it up further, do that. And you can scale unlimited. You can build out a whole agency on that pattern. And you're doing it in a way where you don't have to constantly wonder, am I going to make payroll? Or, you know, is it time to bring on a new person to help? Because you'll be thinking, hey, you know what? I'm making 8 or 9 or 12 or whatever $1,000 per month. Wouldn't it be nice if someone else could kind of help me out with whatever, you know, fill in the blank with something that you'd like help with? And then you've got that. So that's really cool. And so that's the whole thing. And so the just want to wrap it up with this. The five steps, just a quick summary here. The first thing you want to do is you want to make sure that you believe in what you're offering. And the reason that you believe in it is because you've taken an inventory of what you're good at and what you know about and what you like. And you've put that, you've said, you know, if I were in my customer situation, this is what I would need and it would be awesome. And so you feel you just believe in what you're offering. And then step two is have 100% confidence that what you're offering will genuinely help your client. And that's the difference. So it's one thing to say, you know, I've got this awesome thing, but it's another thing to realize, hey, you know what? That awesome thing, it isn't for everybody. It's only for the people that it's actually designed for. And that's the second step. Be mindful of that. Be mindful of the fact that when you present something to someone, you want to be 100% confident that what you're offering to them is in fact a good fit for them. So that's step two. Have 100% confidence that your offer will genuinely help your client. The third thing is only approach the clients that you know you can help, which means that you have to be on offense now. You can't just react. You can't just be leaning back on, you know, hoping that you're going to get referrals or hoping that people are going to call you just out of the blue or hoping that a past client's going to send someone your way, whatever. You can't rely on that. If that happens, like if you get referrals, awesome. That's like icing on the cake, but that's not the cake. And you can't put icing on nothing. You have to have the actual substance. And that means you have to be in charge of your own lead flow and winning your own clients. And what that means is only approach the clients that you know you can crush it for. And that means that what you're offering is not for everybody. So you have to think that through. And that's kind of like the third step to fixing this whole problem of why sales is so uncomfortable for everyone. And then the fourth step is you have to be mindful about whether or not you're even going to make an offer. Because even if you approach somebody and you know that if they did what you suggested, then they would be better off, but they're not fun to be around. Like for whatever reason, they're indecisive and nitpicky and high stress and never paying on time and, you know, always changing their minds. And, you know, they tell you to do one thing and they have to unwind and all of this other stuff. You know, sometimes people are just uncoachable. Sometimes there's just people you can't work with, and it's better to just not get involved. And that's the other thing. It's like, it's okay. It's absolutely okay to meet with someone and be like, hey, you know what? You know, this isn't going to be a good fit. You know, maybe you can refer them to someone else, or maybe you can say, hey, you know, just I'm not the guy for you. You know, that kind of a thing is absolutely okay. And you should feel the freedom to do it, because we just talked about the fact that you need like 5 or 6 total clients. And you can scale to $100,000 a year just off that. You don't have to have a steady flow of clients coming in every month. You don't have to, you don't even want that. What you want is you want a consistent group of clients that you keep. That's the key. And so that enables you to help people at a higher level. It enables you to have a much better business structure. And it gives you the freedom to say, hey, you know what? I don't think this is going to be the best opportunity for us for whatever reason. And there's so many, I bet just within your local community, without having to go outside of just where you even live, even if you live in Idaho or, you know, somewhere rural, I very strongly believe that there's probably 5 or 6 or maybe up to 10 people that you know just off the top of your head that you could probably think of that you could help. And so what that means is you don't have to have a steady flow of leads, and it's okay. And you should feel the freedom to say, this isn't the best fit. I'm not the best person. It's okay. And that's why it doesn't feel uncomfortable to offer something to someone, because you're not selling stuff to people that they don't need. You're not presenting overpriced stuff just to make a buck. You don't have that it's all about me mindset. You have that actually what you have is it's all about you. You know, it's like, can I serve you in some way? Like, is there something that I can do that's going to generate an awesome outcome for you? And if the answer is yes, then just tell them what it is. Just say what it is, right? That's the bottom line. You don't have to sell anything. And then if they hear what you're saying, then they'll be like, yes, let's do it. And then they're excited to work with you. You know, they're inspired. You've set yourself in this leadership position by telling them what was really going to be helpful for them. And when they hear that, then they're saying, hey, you know, let's get started. That sounds fantastic. That's a great idea. I didn't even know we could do that kind of stuff. That's awesome. Let's move forward. That's a much better solution. And again, you only need to do it somewhere between 5 to 10 times, and you've got a 6-figure business. And a lot of times I'll talk to people who they don't even, You know, they would be ecstatic to make half of that. If they could make 50 or 60 grand a year, they would be overjoyed by that. And we're talking like 5 or 6 clients. You know, it's not a lot of clients. You should have the liberty to say yes or no. You should be in control of that too, so that you actually are building a business you like working in, as opposed to having to work with people that are just so high stress, you kind of hate waking up and dealing with that job. So there we go. I kind of went overboard on step three, but step three is only approach clients that you know you can help, and your offer is really not for everybody. Step four is be mindful about whether or not to even make the offer. And then the final step is make sure that you're charging a price where you're going to be successful. Because if you're not charging enough, you can't do your best work. And if you can't do your best work, you can't drive great results. And if you're not driving those great results, your clients aren't really going to get the benefits out of it either. So you fix those 5 things, and then you're going to find that when you go out and meet with clients, it's an entirely new situation where you're excited and you almost can't hold it back, as opposed to kind of dreading, oh man, I don't want to have this conversation, even though I know I have to because I got to stay in business. And instead, you're really pursuing clients because you know that you can help. And then when you see those results come in, I can't even describe to the degree to which it's so incredibly satisfying. It's huge. It legitimately changes your entire perspective on your business, on your life, on the impact that you have in the world. And it's so much, it's not even in the same category as just trying to cold call people and, you know, offer them websites. It's a huge shift. So if you've been hearing all of this and this is resonating with you and you want some help implementing all of this into your business, get on the phone and let's talk about it. I do this all day long, every day. And just go to doublestack.net/call and we can get together for like 45 minutes for free on the phone, and we'll iron all of this out, and we'll think like, how do we make sure that you believe in your offer? Like, what are the things, what's in your skill set? Like, not only things that I can show you and teach you how to do really quickly to kind of ramp up your skill set, but what are you bringing to the table up front? Like, what do you know about? Like, what are you interested in? Like, what would be your ideal situation? And let's work with that and take an inventory of all the skills you have, and then put all of that together so that you differentiate yourself from anybody who's just kind of willing to build a website for people. Like, when you start with that, you're dramatically elevated above everybody else. So let's get on the phone and figure out what that is for you, so that you can then go out and do these types of things for your clients too. So head over to doublestack.net/call and we'll get on the phone. We'll figure all this stuff out. Once you pick a time, and by the way, sometimes people will say, is it really you? Do I actually, or is it one of the guys that works for you? It's like, it's really me. It's like, when you go to doublestack.net/call, it's my personal calendar that pops up. And so for that reason, you know, if you really want to do this, you should probably go over there, because I can't talk to people all day long. I can only talk to a handful of people. So if this is resonating with you, go grab a spot and let's talk about this. And so you'll get on my calendar right after you pick a time. There's a second screen that pops up where you will see a little, like, it's called the application, but basically it's just a couple of questions so I can like get a link to your website. You can tell me a little bit about who you are and what you do and what you're interested in and things like that. So that when we do get on the phone, we can really pack that 45 minutes with as much awesomeness as possible. And we'll talk about like, what is it like to reach out to the clients that you want to be working with? What are the goals that you have for your business, both in terms of revenue, but also in terms of like what you're actually working on? And then we'll figure out like, how do we pull that together and put you in front of the clients that you need to be in front of, so that you can help people at a significantly higher level. And that's going to be so rewarding for you, and it's such a blessing for them. And so, because if it wasn't for that, if it wasn't for you stepping up right now and figuring out how to really put together solutions that matter, then they're going to go out thinking they need a website. They're going to find a cheap website. They're going to spend money that's just going to be like flushing it down the toilet, because they're not going to be getting the results that they want. They're just going to be getting cheap websites. Then they're going to get jaded. Then it's just, the whole thing is bad. And so what you want to do is you want to save them from that problem. And I can't underscore enough the degree to which so many people are out there wishing that you would help them at that level. So that's the idea. So that's what we'll do. So we'll get on the phone. We'll figure all that out. And at the end of the call, you're going to come away with a step-by-step plan for exactly what you need to do in order to make this happen for you. And it's all free. So that's how all of that works. So head over to doublestack.net/call and let's get on the phone, talk about it. And it's been great seeing everybody here. High five to everyone. Boop. And I am Lee Blue, the founder of Doublestack. I always forget. Somebody, next time you get on here, remind me. Somebody type in the chat, remind me to introduce myself, because everybody says, you never introduce yourself. It always, you always maybe mention it at the end. Who are you? Why don't you talk about that? I always forget. Always forget to say that. So I'm Lee Blue. I founded Doublestack. The purpose of Doublestack is to do exactly what we just talked about, to make sure you have the tech stack and the business development stack to really make a difference for your clients. And that, of course, differentiates you from everybody else who's just out there trying to sell the tech stack alone. It also differentiates you from all the people that do all this business consulting and all this brainstorming, but no ability to implement a single thing. You know, both of those are basically in the toilet right now if that's all you've got. Because, you know, anybody, new ideas and brainstorming, that's anybody can do that. There's no shortage of ideas. But if you can't implement the ideas, what good is it? On the other hand, if all you can do is implement stuff, but you don't really even know what to do, you know, what good is that? And so, but when you put those two things together, that's the double stack. That's, you get the business development stack, you get the tech stack. And that's really the whole point. The reason that I created the program is because the shift is, stop focusing on just the technical skill set, start focusing on the business outcome. So you're becoming like a business consultant with the technical ability to pave the road to those business goals for your client. And that's a huge deal. Not very many people have both of those skill sets together. But when you do combine that into your business, that's the kind of thing that can really make a huge difference. So if that sounds good to you, head over to doublestack.net/call. You'll get on the phone with me and we'll work it all out. So there we go. High five for everybody. Boop. I know this is a little bit longer than normal, but man, so much to say, because you know this whole selling concept is a really big roadblock for a lot of people, because it just feels so uncomfortable. And it doesn't have to be. It shouldn't be. If it does feel uncomfortable, that's a sign that you should head over to doublestack.net and let's get that fixed for you. So awesome, guys, and I'll see you again next Tuesday at 2. Take care.